This is the 462nd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and today we have Terry Fontenot, the Falcons general manager, to come by and help us get ready for the NFL draft, which is set for Thursday through Saturday in Detroit, Michigan. Fontenot and his staff will be in Flowery Branch at the Nerve Center, and the AJC will be there also. Our team of four will be helping you all throughout the weekend covering the draft. Myself, columnist Ken Segura, and Mike Cunningham, and one of our top writers, Gabe Burns. He's been doing a lot of baseball, but he's going to put on his football cap, come out and help us get through the draft this weekend. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
All right, we're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and let's get right to it. Know you want to hear from General Manager Terry Fontenot. Here's what he had to say during his opening statement.
Very exciting times right now. We obviously just had practice, our first mini camp practice, as we're in the voluntary portion, phase three. Man, it's fun to see the guys out there on the grass because you do all the work and you – but yet to see them out there moving around and see where your team really is, that's fun. There's been a lot of really positive energy in the building. So very exciting times right now. The most exciting part is we're going to go make this team better here in the next few days and having the opportunity to do that. Very confident. We're aligned as we go into Thursday and very excited, again, that with the opportunity to make the team better. A lot of people to thank as we get ready to get prepared for that process. And it starts with our owner, Arthur Blank, all the unwavering support that he gives us, literally any resource that we need to be successful, he provides us with. So couldn't be more thankful for Arthur. Kyle Smith, my right-hand man, in regards to all player acquisition, Kyle's literally obsessed with the process. That's why I love him so much. And so he's been outstanding, like he's always been here. And you get into the player personnel department, the college scouting department. This is their baby all year. The late nights, the rental cars, all the travel that they do, the time away from their families. And they're really the backbone of this process and all the work that they put into it. Very appreciative of them. We're very detailed and organized because of the work that they put into it. The pro personnel department with not only the players that we're able to sign in free agency, but even players that you signed during the season off the street. The players that we took off practice squads, and now to get to see the way they're developing. We're excited about our team right now. We have a lot of flexibility going into the draft because of all the work that they put into it. So very appreciative of them. The coaching staff, obviously from Raheem on down throughout all the coaches, all the work that they put into it. We rely on our coaches a lot in this process. We lean on them a lot. And in terms of giving us their vision for the players, what we have here, what we're looking for, and then in all the evaluations, it's been an excellent process. We have a very smart, passionate, forward-thinking group. And so it's been really fun going through that work with them. And then getting to football tech and analytics with Steph and Danny and their staffs, the training room, the equipment room, player engagement, So much work goes into this. The medical staff, just very appreciative, really, of the entire building. You know, we get out of the season, we got the coaching search, then you got free agency, then you got the draft, and it really hasn't stopped. And really, most importantly, the families. My wife's the one that brought those cookies, and she comes up here to bring cookies just to see me for a second, because it truly is, like, our families make a lot of sacrifices for us to be able to do what we do. So very appreciative of all our families and all the work that's gone into it. And again, we're very excited as we get prepared to go into Thursday.
Well, you can see that he is ready. Wanted to give credit to his staffs, the college scouts, the pro personnel folks, and everybody who helped the Falcons get ready for the draft up until this point. Now, there was a little bit of business that we had to take care of before we got into the draft with regards to the tampering case. Here is Terry Fontenot on the tampering decision and the league notifying us that it will not be resolved before this draft.
Well, look, the league has been very communicative with us and throughout the whole process. Really appreciate them, and we've obviously cooperated, provided all the information, and again, not really any update from our end in regards to that. We'll just continue to cooperate and control what you can control. We'll get ready for this draft, and so we're excited moving forward.
So that's good to know for the Falcons because, you know, the tampering cases can lead to the loss of draft picks and fines, and, you know, they could have took some draft picks this year. They had a settlement last year where that happened right before the draft between the Eagles and the Cardinals. So a lot of people were on notice to say, hey, well, y'all said y'all were reviewing these cases. Will they affect this draft? And it looks like it will affect the next draft, the 2025 draft, if the two teams, the Eagles and the Falcons, are found to have violated the tampering rules. They could potentially be fined and potentially lose draft picks. Now, here is Terry Fontenot on the pre-draft meetings heading into Thursday.
We had a meeting with Arthur right before that, and I'll say this, Led. We've obviously finished up our meetings, and we finished up all of our we've had the medical meetings. We finished up with the scouts, sent the scouts home at the end of last week. We still have another security meeting coming up, and so there's still boxes to check. We feel great about where we are, but it really goes down to the wire. And the hay's not in the barn until we turn that card in. So we feel great about where we are, but we're still working through it.
The Falcons pick 8th overall in the draft for the 3rd consecutive year. I believe this is the 29th time they've had a pick in the top 10. That's our story for Wednesday. And unfortunately, it's not an altogether new story. We can refresh it. But as long as they keep going in the top 10, we can run that thing back out there. So we're going to do that with a new lead and go back and look at some of those top 10 picks that have panned out and some that have not. But here is Terry Fontenot, and if they are fielding more calls with the amount of interest for quarterbacks, potentially at number 8.
Yeah, it is unique because when you can have possibly that many quarterbacks going right at the top, then it's going to push down some really good skill players. And so depending on, there could be a lot of action at some different spots around our pick. So right now those calls are just exploratory. So we have the conversations, but you really don't get into what the value would be. It's just a lot of preliminary calls because, to your point, they won't happen until it's really on the clock. Right, whenever you see what players are there. And then when it gets close to your pick, you start getting the calls that say, hey, if our player's there, then this is what we would do. And you start having those real conversations of what it would take. And what we have to do is know at each pick what's going to be the value to go down. So this is what it would take for us to move from this pick down 3 spots or 4 spots or 10 spots, whatever it is. We would take this value, and these are the players we would get. And you're just weighing the value of this player in this pick compared to this player at 8. Or, again, if you're going up a tick to get another player, you're just kind of weighing out those values. But to answer your question, until you're really on the clock, that's when it becomes real.
Now, we got the quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and then 11, 12, 13, 6 in the first round. Then Spencer Rattler will go next, and that might not happen for a while. But, you know, the second three are J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix. The first three, of course, are Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. and Drake May out of North Carolina. But the Falcons, when they're sitting there at eight, they got a chance. They got to make it right. They got to hit it right. They got four defenders stacked there, and they could get the quarterback if they think Penix is your transition quarterback to the future. But, yeah, just doing some work last night on Turner, Leulatu, and Jared Verse. All three of those guys would be great additions to the Falcons. And I'm not so high on the Byron Murphy. Although, you know, people are talking about Aaron Donald about him, like him, you know, a little short, quick guy, just terrorizes, break down the line. You know, if he turns out to be that and you don't take him, you'll regret it. But Jared Verse, Cunningham likes Jared Verse. He's a mean, tough dude. Turner, you like him because he's a system fit. But yeah, the scouts starting to question his toughness. And then Latu's might be the best technically sound rusher. So they got to split hairs at number eight, and they got a lot of options. So here's Terry Fontenot picking the best player available at eight, even if that's an offensive player.
When we talk about best player available, it's really it's best player available for us, right? Because I think sometimes when people hear best player available, they're looking at some of the experts' list, right? And what each – you have 32 different draft boards. You know, they're probably a little more similar in the top 10 or in the top, you know, but as you're, they can get very different as you go through the draft, but you truly have 32 different draft boards. When you talk about best player available, really you're talking about best player available for us, and the key is not reaching for needs. So in most cases, you're going to have, you got the different categories, right? You have the impact players, you have the elite players, you have the solid starters, you have the functional starters, you have the role players, the developmental, you have all these categories. So in most cases, you're going to have more than one position in that category. So now you can look at, okay, these are the players we have in this category, so let's go with the position need or the more premier position, call it. You know, you can choose. What you don't want to do is if you have a couple players in this category and you have more of a need, and it's down this, and so as opposed to taking an impact player, you're taking a functional starter, or, you know, that's the key with that. Somebody said the other day, I think it was DeJuan Jones who spent time in Baltimore. He said today's surplus is tomorrow's necessity, right? Tomorrow can be 2 years from now, right? We're getting these drafted players for 4 to 5 years. Tomorrow can be August in this league. Right. So we always have to look at, and again, you hear stories about players at different points that you didn't take because you had a better need. So I'm saying all this to say is that we always want to bring in impact players and continue to build a team. But where need does come into place is when you have several players in the category, which in most cases you do.
Well, all right. You know, the offensive player that could be there could be Brock Bowers from the University of Georgia, the tight end. Could be Rome Adunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Do you take him? I mean, when you clearly need help on defense, I mean, you know, they've taken offensive players in the top 10 the last three, right? What I'm going out. Yeah, Pitts was number four, then Drake London, then Bijan. So they're not going to do that four times in a row. But we'll see. And here is Terry Fontenot on gathering and using the medical information during the draft process.
Just like you talked about earlier, we go through those exhaustive meetings. You know, Jake Fowler and Kyle Hammond, they're at the combine. They go through that. There's times that you don't get, if a player wasn't at the combine, you bring them in to get more medical. And so you go through that process. But you have the experts going through that process. We get cross checks. We spend a lot of time on that, and then we listen to the experts. But again, it's all risk assessment. You have to look at also that player and that player's makeup in terms of, okay, this is the medical grade. This is what we expect with this player. This is the makeup of the player. This is what we expect him to get the most out of himself. So it's just a weighing process. It really is. It's truly risk assessment and a weighing process.
Okay, that answer from Terry was very helpful for us. It looked like just an out of the clear blue medical question. But we know, and he knows, that Lata had neck surgery. He had medically retired from the University of Washington. The Falcons defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake announced the retirement, and he was his coach. Now he goes and gets C5 specialist, gets cleared. Washington won't clear him. He goes to UCLA, has 2 double-digit sacks years, and now he's in the draft. So if you feel okay about his neck, do you take him over Dallas Turner, who he's probably tougher than him, might be a little bit older because of extra years and stuff, but do you take Lata over Dallas Turner? And Verse, who's also just a real tough, mean dude. We're going to be seeing those three guys linked together moving forward. But that was the medical question about how that's going to play into if they take Lata. And they know him because they got the inside information from Jimmy Lake, I'm sure. And so, you know, given that, what I just said about all those pass rushers, I know... That's been a key. We've been studying pass rushers for a long time here on the Falcons beat. And this year, these look like three pretty good ones. So they just have to get it right at 8. And here is Terry Fontenot on the pass rushers in the draft.
Pass rushers, not just an outside linebacker. There's defensive ends. There's defensive tackles. There's some good pass rushers in this draft. There's different types. You got the guys that win with power, the guys that win more with speed. You got the well-rounded players, the versatile players that you can move around. It's a premier position. Not just saying the outside linebacker is a premier position, the defensive. If you have a pressure player, it is. It's premier, no different than a corner, right? Those are premier positions. And so at any point, if you can get them, it doesn't matter what you have in your building. If you can get them, you definitely want to get them. And there's some good ones in this draft, I would say, at both positions.
Well, all right, there you have it. The pass rushers in the draft. What they think about them, they concur that this is a good group. Now, the tackle group is not as deep as the edge rusher group. So, you know, you can look at our top 10 series and see some of the pass rushers in the second group. If they decide to wait and go another direction early, they'll pick one up later. But another matter that needed to be addressed was, what's Calais Campbell's situation? So we checked with Terry Fontenot to see if they had an update on Calais Campbell.
No update at this point, but we'll never close any doors. You know, we'll get through the draft, and then once we get through the draft, we always go through the players that are available and what we can do. It's a 24/7, 365 process, the roster building. We're never stopping. The roster is never set, so we won't close any doors.
Well, there you have it. They're going to wait till after the draft and then kind of revisit it, see if, they want to move forward, if they, you know, can keep him or bring him back. You know, can't never have enough good football players, and we'll just keep on top of that. So with that, we're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song. A celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
All right, we're back here from the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and big week in Falcon land with Matt Ryan signing a one-day contract and officially retiring. We're not dealing with that here. We had a special episode of Matt Ryan's retiring officially from the Falcons. So go listen to that where we go over his career and discuss whether he's a candidate for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Before we move on here and wrap things up on this draft podcast, we want to let you know about an offer that we have. We got an all-star offer for all of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast listeners, and this deal's a steal. For a limited time, pay only $1.25 a week for the AJC's baseball season pass, and it'll be like you're inside the clubhouse. From now through the World Series, you get all of the latest trade rumors, fantasy baseball, postseason predictions, and more. Enjoy this exclusive offers of giveaways and contests to show off your fandom. Plus, you'll get access to the AJC's Essential Journalism, premium podcasts, original videos, and more. Get details and subscribe now by going to AJC.com/BSP. That's AJC.com/BSP. Get ready for the great season, sports fans. This deal is only for new subscribers. Okay, with that, let's move on here. Get your pen and paper out so you can keep track of the draft. Starting on Thursday, the Falcons will have 3 picks on Friday and then finish up with 4 picks on Saturday as everything stands right now and they don't trade any of their picks. Number one, the first round, they pick 8th overall. Second round, they pick 43rd overall. 9 picks in from the 32 starting the first round. In the third round, they have 2 picks, 74th and 79 from the Calvin Ridley trade. And in the fourth round, they have the 108th pick, fifth round, 142, sixth round, 186. And in the sixth round, from the Browns and Deion Jones trade, that is 96, the 96th pick in the draft. So you got potentially 8 picks here. That was important with the tampering case, because you was thinking they might lose that third, which would have been giving away Ridley for nothing, which, you know, you don't want to ever do that. But hey, let's go ahead and wrap up the position by position series here. Looking at the top cornerback, safeties, and the special teamers. Really enjoyed doing the special team story in light of the new kickoff rules that put a new spin on it for us this year. So let's go to the cornerbacks. You know, y'all, the SEC folks know most of these guys. SEC and ACC, these are pretty much guys you see every weekend. Terry and Arnold, Alabama's one. Nate Wiggins from Clemson and Westlake High. Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, we have him as the number 3. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry is number 4. Cooper DeJean from Iowa is a player who, you know, if you watch a lot of Big Ten, you might know him, but he's rated 5th ahead of number 6, Kamari Lassiter from Georgia. So these are your cornerbacks. It's a deep cornerback group, and they'll go deep into kind of some different areas also. Ennis Rakestraw, Missouri. Kalen King from Penn State, TJ Tampa from Iowa, and number 10 is our guy from Atlanta, the CFL Rookie of the Year, Quintez Stiggers from Best Academy. We wrote the story back in December about his strange path to the draft through fan-controlled football and the Canadian Football League. So that's out there, but he is a 10th-rated cornerback expected to go in the 3rd or 4th round. So there are your top cornerbacks. Let's just look over our list of the locals. Best local prospect that didn't make the top 10 is Marcellus Dial. He played at the Georgia Military Academy. Spent 3 seasons with the Gamecocks and played at the Georgia Military Academy before going to South Carolina. All right, safeties. You all know some of the top safeties. They played at Georgia. So Javon Bullard and Tykee Smith, they're two of the top safeties in the draft. But we got them broken down by strong safeties and free safeties. So our strong safeties, number one is Jaden Hicks from Washington State, Kalen Bullock from USC, James Williams Jr. from Miami, Sion Vaca from Utah, and Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest. And our top free safeties are Kitchens, Cameron Kitchens, a lot of production, all ACC first team, 33 games, 162 tackles, and 11 interceptions over his career. Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota, he's the biggest one, 6'2", 210, big thumper, coming out of the Big Ten. Highly productive, 48 games, 207 career tackles, and 13 interceptions. Kitchens and Newbin are rated ahead of Bullard, who a lot of people think is going to be just a fine safety and play 10 years out of Georgia, but, you know, maybe go in the third round. And then Cole Bishop from Utah out of Stars Mill, he's the fourth-rated free safety, started out at Utah. And then Tykee Smith from Georgia, he was second-team All-SEC pick this year with 12 starts. Led the team in tackles with 70, had 8.5 tackles for loss, and 4 interceptions. So those are top safeties. It's a down year. We're probably not going to see a safety go until the third round. Those guys didn't test too well. But those are the top 5 safeties, strong and free. Then one local product to keep an eye out for is Jalen Simpson from Auburn. He's a skinny safety, 6'1", 178. Finished with 118 career tackles and 7 interceptions. So he is also draft eligible. Had a strong showing in coverage at the Senior Bowl. All right, and just as far as a need area, we said this was not one for the Falcons. Jesse Bates is the anchor of the defense. DeMarco Hallams took over for Richie Grant late last season. And then Michael Abernathy has developed into one of the team's top special teamers, the gunner and the coverage guy. So they are high on Michael Abernathy. So if you're counting, that's 4 safeties right there. And they've got some other players behind them too. So safety is not a need position for them. Now, going to wrap up here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, looking at some of the top special teams players. And the story talked about the importance of the returners. And Xavier Leggett from South Carolina is one. Xavier Worthy from Texas. You know, with the new return rule, teams are going to give guys that have returned punts and kickoffs a lot more value in the draft. So a player like Leggett, who starred on special teams there at South Carolina and who doesn't mind playing them at all, he's going to probably go a little bit higher than one kid that does not play any special teams. So kicker-wise, Joshua Carty from Stanford is your top kicker in the draft. Will Richard from Alabama. He doesn't have a distance, but he had a lot of production inside of 40. So they don't know if he can stick or not. Harrison Mavis from Missouri, he's got the SEC record, boomed a lot of kicks, but also missed some, so he might get a shot. Then Jake Browning from San Diego State and Cam Little from Arkansas. All right, punters, Torrey Taylor from Iowa, he's from Australia, and he just smashes the ball, just smashes it, 46.3 average over 295 point putts, 13,657 yards. He had 103 of his punts went for 50 yards or more. And, you know, that was big because, you know, Iowa didn't do too much on offense, so he got a lot of work. So he's number one punter. Austin McNamara, Texas Tech. He's number two. Matthew Haybill from Vanderbilt is three. Ryan Rickow from Brigham Young. And five, Porter Wilson, the senior from Duke, is your fifth punter. All right. And best of the rest, we got local long snapper William Moat from Georgia. He was a long snapper on every punt since 2020. And he took over field goal snapping in 2022. And he was invited to the Senior Bowl. So that's a wrap up of the special teams, a cornerback, safeties, and special teams heading into the draft. So we've covered all of the position groups. You can go back to the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the second half with Adam Scheffner, the second half of the show with Michael Cunningham, and then the second half of this show here today for your position by position stories. And you can just call them up on the internet by doing top 10 cornerbacks, AJC.com. And those will come up, and just put the year so you make sure you got the right year. Top 10 linebackers 2024, AJC.com. That'll come up. And then at the bottom of those stories, you'll have links to all the stories and all of the rankings heading into Thursday's draft, which will be held in Detroit, Michigan. So we're all ready to go now. Most of the hay is in the barn. And so we'll be out at the facility on Thursday to cover the draft for you. So be sure to follow us on AJC.com and at Twitter, DOrlandoAJC, so you get all the latest on all the new Falcons that'll be drafted here over the weekend. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving art scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.